Welcome to 216, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I'm your host, Fear Agent's wife. Today on the show, we have Malmo. Malmo being one of the prominent people in the glitched ALTTPR community. He had a really great conversation with her, and we will get to that shortly. So what is going on? Casual Boots tourney finals are set. Gamma versus Rob J. Beasley. So all of Fear Agent's predictions were, of course, wrong. Bwayne and Jem will meet in the bronze match. Fear will take Bwayne there. So for the finals, Fear have to go with his boy Gamma Chew. Sorry, Gamma. Cross Keys tourney is moving along. We are in the top eight. Wall Kicks versus Gamma with Wall Kicks taking game one. Telthar versus Illis. Matches are on the schedule. Humbug versus Raymond with Raymond taking the victory there in two games. So Raymond is on to the semifinals. CS Tutor won his match over Azelga, and Schulzer won his game against Megawatt. So we have CS Tutor versus Schulzer. All of Fear's predictions were wrong except for Raymond. So take no stock in these picks. Fear is picking Wall Kicks over Gamma, Illis over Telethar, and Schulzer over Tutor. Since we have Malmo on the show, I'm going to do a little breakdown of the No Logic tourney that is happening now. The tournament is best of three, double elimination. In the winner's bracket, we have Malmo versus Krythil. Malmo beat ERD Wong, Bayer, Fox Lisk, and Red Kitsune. Krythil beat Toj So, JD Silvergun, Coxla, and Chex Human. The winner of the Malmo Krythil match will face the winner of the loser's bracket. Chex Human beat Tam and is waiting the winner of Kitsune Mr. Bayer match. All of these matches have been on the Speed Gaming channel, so you can go back and catch anything you missed. So on today's show, we have Malmo. Fear had a great conversation with her, and it was really cool to hear her story, her take on racing, and the community. I know Fear wishes he was able to take some of the same approaches to the game that she does. She is calm, cool, and collected. And as we know about Fear, he can be the exact opposite. So enough of me, let's get to the interview with Malmo.
All right, Malmo, I'm really excited about having you on the show because I've known you as being a part of the community for a long time, but it feels like we're in two separate hemispheres, even though I think we're in the same, like, similar location time-wise. Two different hemispheres in the rando world. You really being a big part of like the no glitches, overworld glitches, all the kind of crazy stuff. So I'm really interested in hearing your story and how you kind of got involved with rando.
Yeah, my rando experience just goes back quite a bit farther than my glitched rando experience. I actually started in, you could technically say 2016, but not really. Wow. Because I was just playing once on the Deseret version, like the back one, you had to download it and generate a seed locally. I did it once. I don't remember anything about that seed or even if I finished it. And I didn't come back in until 2018 when I found some SMZ3 showcase on YouTube. I think this was back when it was brand new. And it was like, oh, this whole thing, you can do Super Metroid and Link to the Past. And I was a big Metroid fan at the time. I was not... I played a lot of Link to the Past as a kid, but I wouldn't have considered myself like a Zelda nut until I started watching the 2018 512 Swiss Spring Tournament. You know the one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big one.
I followed that religiously. I was actually rooting for Pink Kitty Rose because she was doing like crazy cool things. I was like, wow, this is a dark horse. I want to follow one person and just, you know, get into that tournament mindset, because I was never really a sports kid. You know, I never had like a team to root for. It's just the first time I had that experience.
Yeah. I miss Pink Kitty Rose. I haven't seen her in quite a while, but back in 2018, she was racing a lot. All right. So let's, I think, slow things down a little bit, because I think we jumped through a lot of stuff. So let's talk gaming history. Were you gaming early on as a kid?
I had a Super Nintendo and a computer. So I had like five or six games that I played regularly on Super Nintendo. Link to the Past was one of them.
Yeah.
And on the computer, I had Roller Coaster Tycoon, Zoo Tycoon,
some other games.
Yeah. So those are the ones I spent most of my time in. And then much later, I didn't actually play any modern games until college. Mm-hmm. And by modern, I meant I played Ocarina of Time for the first time because my housemate hadn't been 64.
That's funny.
And then I was like, oh, I have so much gaming history to catch up on. I got into the Metroid series, played the Prime Trilogy. It's one of my favorite series of all time. Even though I don't really delve into the randomizer or the speedrunning aspect, I loved playing those casually.
Sure. I've actually never really played any of the Metroid Prime stuff. That's all first-person shooter, right?
It's not. I wouldn't call it first-person shooter. It's more like Zelda in first-person.
Okay.
With shooting as your mechanic. But it doesn't feel anything like playing like Call of Duty.
Sure.
I did play TF2, Team Fortress 2. That's a first-person shooter, but it doesn't take itself seriously, which is why I like it.
Mm-hmm. Metroid, the Metroid series, though, does it still feel like Metroid, even though it is first person?
Oh, absolutely. Like Metroid Prime feels like the way Ocarina of Time feels compared to Link to the Past. Like this is what 3D Zelda is like. This is what 3D Metroid would be. This is what you'd expect.
Was the SNES your first system?
SNES was my only system for like 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Never got any upgrades. I didn't even ask for them. I didn't want them. I had the SNES. It was good enough.
Really? You were just happy and content with the Super Nintendo and the five games, or did you expand upon that?
I kind of. Okay. So my parents asked me if I wanted a Game Boy Advance when I was a little kid, and I was like, nah, I don't really need it. And
wow. The Super Nintendo. Your story is so different than everyone else's. Your parents ask for if you want a Game Boy Advance. You're like, yes, please give me more.
I know. I probably should have. Like, that's why I've never played Pokemon, because I just never got into the handheld market.
Mm-hmm.
But I did play some Donkey Kong Country, and I never owned the games. I always borrowed them from friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends never owned the second one in the series, and I really wanted to play that. So that was the first time I went on like the internet to find a game to purchase on eBay, was to get Donkey Kong Country 2. And I would say I was in like high school and I did that. I bought a couple other games, but it was mostly just that one and the rest of the trilogy that I was missing.
So you really were just playing the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Wow. Did it stay with you? Like you like as you were growing up, everyone's moving on to the GameCube and Wii and Xbox and everything. And you're just happy and content with your Super Nintendo. And I take it you're probably still doing some computer games as well.
I was. The computer games, I didn't really upgrade either. I just played the same ones. And then it wasn't until like college where I actually got back into games again. And that's when I got started looking at Steam, and Orange Box was a big, big deal for me because that was the first time I really played like a PC game. Mm. I played Half-Life 2 and Portal. I got it for Portal. Classic. But once I finished Portal, I wanted to do more of that mechanic. So I played Half-Life 2, and then I had Team Fortress 2, and I was like, well, you know, this is the other game I haven't played yet, so I'll play that. And I got really into it.
How into it? Were you playing it for like a really long time, or?
I have like 700 hours in TF2 over 5 or 6 years.
So
with
yes,
some gaps.
The answer is yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But I didn't play it competitively. I just played it casually.
Yeah. I think Team Fortress 2 kind of lends itself to that too. I mean, there is a competitive angle to it, but it, like you said, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It feels different than, say, like Call of Duty or whatever, some of the other first-person shooter games.
Well, the good thing about games that don't take themselves too seriously is they attract players who don't take the game too seriously. Not going to say there's no toxicity in TF2.
Sure.
But when you're on just a random casual server, most people are just goofing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I take it that's what you gravitate towards, is the less serious like super gamer mentality and more like let's just have a good time.
Yes, which is why it surprised me so much when I picked up the Link to the Past randomizer and started playing it competitively. I wasn't expecting that to happen.
Do you just not have that sort of like competitive edge to you?
Not really. I don't know. It's now that I've heard so much about people dealing with tilt and losing and stuff, I consider myself lucky to not care that much about results. And how well I do in tournaments and whether I'm playing good or bad.
Were you watching Twitch or anything before you got into Rando, and when you first found Rando in 2016 even?
I was not. And actually, when I was watching the tournament, I was watching it entirely on YouTube. And I only turned to Twitch because YouTube was on such a delay from Twitch that I wanted to see the matches before they got spoiled to me. On like Discord and such.
Yeah. Wow. So you just randomly found the tournament on YouTube? Is that what it was? Yes. Or
it was the algorithm seeing that I watched the Super Metroid, the SMZ3 showcase, and saying, you might like this.
Right.
And I did. So thank the YouTube algorithm, which is not something I will ever say again in my life.
Yeah, the first win for that one. So when you first found Link to the Past Randomizer, you said it was 2016. This is pre-website. This is pre-like punch it in, get a seed. It was all patching, right?
It was. I found it because a friend, the same college friend who lent me her N64, linked me a marathon that was happening where they were changing the game based on a vote. So like 5 minutes into a game, they can vote to change the game. Mm-hmm. And one of the games in the rotation was Link to the Past Randomizer, and I wanted to see it. And I was like, wait, I want to see more of this game. They're changing it to something else. So I went on YouTube and looked for a playthrough, and I found one by some channel called Turn-Based Comedy. And I watched them play it a couple times, and then I decided to try it for myself, and then I put it down for 2 years.
So you just did the one seed? Is that what you tried? And how did that first seed go? Do you even remember?
I have no memory. I don't know if I finished it. I didn't have a concept of go mode or anything like that. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm aware, like I probably played it casually and beat it, but I'm not even sure about that.
Sure. What's your sort of game style? Because you're not coming at it as like a super competitive, I got to beat everyone or get everything. Do you find yourself as a completionist though? Do you like to play through the entire game, or do you like to 100% them? Like what, how do you find some of these older, the SNES games that you were growing up with? How was your play style?
As a kid, I was definitely a talk to every NPC and collect every heart piece. And I liked exploring the boundaries. I remember when I was, you know, really little and Link to the Past, trying to like mirror on top of buildings in Village of Outcasts, thinking it would take me to the roof. And I think maybe some of that mindset may have contributed to my love of glitch modes now. Like I really wanted to go to the clouds on Death Mountain. They look so solid. And
for
turns
sure,
out you can. Turns they're out, actually, yeah. Like, they're liquid. I'll have you know, they're made of water, not land.
That is too funny. I'm sure we're going to talk plenty of glitch stuff because obviously, I mean, you know this, you're so associated with those categories. You didn't just immediately get into the glitch world because, and I think I'm going to need you to eventually explain it because I don't even know where how the glitch categories like evolved. So you start following in the 512 Swiss, the big one in 2018, right?
Yes. I watched that one all the way through to the end.
Where did you decide to pick up the game again, or were you just watching PKR?
I picked up the game, but I don't remember what phase I did that. But I do have I saved this old post. My very first post on Discord was me going into tech support and asking, how do I unpatch my ROM with this 2016 Deserex seed on it? And the answer is you can't. So yeah, I had actually destroyed my Japanese 1.0 ROM and had to figure that one out on my own. But that was my, I could look at the date and see like when that would have been, but it was in 2018 at some point. Okay. The first thing I did after that tournament ended was actually watch the Overworld Glitches tournament.
So there was already an Overworld Glitches subset going on when you got into it.
There was. It was very fringe. There's like a channel on Discord. I mean, there is now, but the channel on Discord, it was, you know, maybe like just a few people. It's not even really the same people who are active now, doing basically the same thing they're doing now, sharing new finds, discussing the tech and so on. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know how they were organizing races. There was a tournament server that I actually admin now. I'm the owner of the server, but at the time it was run by Michael K. And he was running tournaments off of it. So that's probably how they did most of their communications.
So a lot of the Overworld Glitches stuff probably comes from just people exploring the game in different like vanilla speedrun sort of like categories, right? Like the RMG, the category and things like that. Did the Overworld Glitches evolve from that? Or was there, and was there new glitches that were discovered through the rando?
So I think there are probably better people to explain the history of glitches than me. And I highly encourage you invite some of them. I think Taj So is a really good one to go into the weeds of the history. But there was a time when the biggest glitch they had was EG. And it still is the biggest glitch, but we just banned it because it's too strong. And you could beat the game in a couple minutes and it was a big deal. there was a document going around in the kind of early internet days of challenge runs you could do, where you could play as much of the game as possible without Moon Pearl using Super Bunny. There's a very old version of Death Mountain Descent using the mirror that was known at the time. But there wasn't really that much else. Like, nobody knew about boots clipping or one frame clipping until I think the speedrun started picking up on it.
Okay. When you pick up Rando, do you immediately gravitate towards the overworld glitches stuff?
No, it was just surprising because I was watching the tournament and it was, I really liked watching the people clip around, but I never thought to myself, I can do this too. I just thought, wow, this is a really cool thing that people are doing. It's fun to watch. But I was brand new. Like, I didn't even know blind script. I didn't know anything. So I had a long way to go before I could even think about learning glitches. So I didn't think about learning glitches for another 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So from 2018 to 2020, then you're just playing the game. Are you racing?
I am racing very little. The most I'm doing is casual, like, community server races. The first one I raced was a group called Crystal Company that you probably heard from Wallkicks. Yep. Same one. I have raced Wallkicks probably as one of the first people I ever raced, because that was the time when he was the person who actually recommended Crystal Company to me, because I was asking, how do I get into casual racing when I don't want to set up SRL and I don't really want to be competitive or have to worry about getting good?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I have the place for you. We do this race every Friday. That was the first time I purchased a microphone, because I wanted to be able to talk to the people who were playing.
Sure. Yeah. And so you started with the Crystal Company. Was that the first like community that embraced you? You said your friend kind of turned you on to some of the stuff, but did you kind of just come in on your own and start beating people?
The friend was actually like not in the community at all. Like, I don't even think she plays Link to the Past. She had the N64, you know, she was a little bit generation ahead of me or behind me. But the Crystal Company community was the first one where I was doing things regularly. And then I started watching some larger streamers for a while and getting into their communities. But mostly I was playing by myself, playing the daily challenge a little bit. If you don't know about the daily challenge, it's the website generates a seed every day. Before there was mystery, it would use a mystery like algorithm to generate a seed that would tell you the settings. So you could go in and say, OK, this one's Animizer. I'm going to skip it, because I'm not ready for Animizer.
Yeah.
So I was doing that. They were async-like, so you could just post your results and nobody cared about cheating or anything. Everyone was just doing it to have fun.
And did you do that for a while? Are you still doing that?
I was doing it until glitched racing took over my life.
Okay. So for like 2 years, though, you're just doing casual stuff. Did you ever join any SRL races?
I didn't join races. Well, I joined the Crystal Company races. They were on Speed Racing TV. I never made an SRL account. I never bothered with IRC. I didn't start doing races until race time.
Yeah. That whole IRC thing was such a hassle, especially if you're not like super into IRC tech going into it. It took me a long time to figure all that stuff out. And even during those years, it was still such a headache just when it wouldn't connect or whatnot. Race time has definitely made things so much easier.
Yeah, race time. I think I can thank race time for getting me the confidence to start joining speed gaming races. So I did my first race against Koi on speed gaming on Restream, and that was my big break. I mean, that was the first time I was really streaming, and definitely the first time I was on Restream.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It went surprisingly well. I actually beat him, considering he was a much better player than me. It was, you know, it was like, wow, I can beat, you know, this big streamer, you know. It was okay, I can maybe do this. So I started joining a few more of them. I got like restreamed a couple times, but I still wasn't doing it that much, and it definitely wasn't joining tournaments.
Was it just a normal race mode, or was this Overworld Glitches already?
Oh, no. This was like open, like normal open.
Oh, just regular randomizer. Open. Okay.
I hadn't learned glitches yet.
So you're racing occasionally, you're doing a lot of more offline stuff and just kind of playing casually. When then does the Overworld Glitches interest come, and how did it kind of grab a hold of you?
That started with Multiworld. So it actually has nothing to do with watching the Overworld Glitches tournament, except that I knew it existed. I was playing Multiworlds pretty regularly back in the days when it was fairly new. There was async multi-world being organized on the server where they would join, generate like 50 seeds, and you can just pick one and play it until you can't play anymore. And you had to wait for somebody else to play theirs before you can even get the items you need. And you can probably see where this is going. Somebody didn't find my mitts for like 3 days. And I'm like, okay, okay. I want to finish my seed.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I do this? What are the glitches I need to learn to finish without mitts? So I started asking some of the people. Espeon was a big one. Just every time I got stuck, I would ask Espeon, how do I skip this item? And he was teaching me one glitch at a time, coming with no glitch experience. I was learning these things from scratch and, you know, slowly making my way through this seed that I was stuck in until I beat it without the mitts. And I was like, wow, I just beat a seed without the mitts. I can do this. I can learn overworld glitches.
And the spark was ignited.
Oh my God, it was. It was so ignited. I was at work. I remember being at work and thinking, when I get home, I'm going to watch some videos, because back when then you had to like watch a 2-hour video to learn glitches. There weren't like individual guides. You had to watch a video of one person explaining how to do every glitch in the game. And you either watch the whole video and learn everything, or you like scrub through the video to find what you need.
And so is that what you did, is you just sat down and watched the entire video and started learning everything that you could?
I did. I watched the whole video and then I played a seed.
Did you feel like as you watched that you picked it up quickly, and did it sort of like change your view of what Rando was for you?
It did. And what surprised me was how not difficult it was to learn these glitches. Because everyone thought like, oh, overall glitches, I can't do that. You go into that daily challenge and it would roll in overall glitches, and, you know, 3/4 of the people would say, not tonight. Because I'm not playing tonight.
Right.
But it made me realize people could learn this very easily if the resources are out there. And the resources aren't watch a 2-hour video.
Right. Because
that's going to turn off a lot of people.
Totally.
So
yeah.
I started creating resources to get more people to learn in a way that's not as daunting as what was available at the time.
What kind of resources were you making? Like, what's out there?
The first big thing I made was a map. That looks like a map tracker, but instead of the item locations, it shows the clipping spots, the places where you could do glitches. And they were numbered, and you can go into the number and look at a list and say, OK, I'm going to look at glitch number 4. Glitch number 4 is on, you know, the Death Mountain Lumberjack area slope. And you would look at that and be like, OK, there's a thing called Lumberjack Death Mountain Ascent that I could learn that gets me up the mountain. Or you'd have... Yeah, you'd have like, I need to learn Floating Island. So you look at Floating Island and you look for the numbers around it, and you'd find the one that's called Floating Island Clip, and you could learn that.
Is this available still?
It is. It's on the, it's in the pins in the glitch server and in the glitch Discord like sub channel.
Okay.
There's a bunch of other things I made since then, but that was the first big project.
Did you start to see more people playing overworld glitches then?
Yes.
Well, that's gotta be exciting, right? Like you get into it, and are you able to like take your what you can to help other people to figure it out? Because I feel like one of the biggest hurdles is learning it all. Like that's kind of one of the reasons I've never really dipped my toe in, is it just feels daunting to learn so much.
Yeah, but so there were a few people who picked it up, and I think there are always are a few people every now and then who will become curious. Daily challenge is a big fueler of that. People will see those seeds that they can't play and say, well, I want to be in on this. I don't want to miss a seed tonight just because it's overworld glitches. And we have a couple of people in the community who taught themselves because of that. Mr. Pyre is one of them. It's a couple others. But the thing that really got people into back in, you know, that bolstered the racing community was I started pushing for it really hard. Like I'm going to take credit for this. I really pushed the racing community into glitched modes, or at least pushed people into the glitch racing. Because at the time that I joined, all the people who were running the 2018 tournament were not active. There were just a couple people, Chex Human and Spleeby mostly, who would race each other like maybe once a week. And that was it. That was the racing scene. And I said, hey, maybe the reason people aren't getting into this is because nobody is restreaming it on Speed Gaming. Nobody even knows it exists. People who do know it exists think it's really hard to learn. So what are we going to do about this? That's when I reached out to Go Mode Podcast and asked them if we could do a showcase race, because Speed Gaming wasn't putting on streams because they knew if they did, nobody would show up.
Yeah.
So if I could find somebody who would show up, I could at least put on some kind of 1v1 stream where people could watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I got me and Spleeby to race. We raced each other on stream on Go Mode Podcast, and that had enough response that we were able to start organizing weekly races that had more than two people on them.
Nice.
And the first weekly race, I think, turned out seven people, which is the most had ever showed up in a glitch race at one time, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. I mean, maybe there were some Speed Gaming dailies that may have had some, but I don't think they ever made it up to seven. People were saying this is unheard of.
Yeah, because I was I was running those Speed Gaming dailies back then in 2018. And if we did overall glitches, it was like maybe three people, maybe three.
Yeah. So. And people were like, wait a minute, if seven people are showing up to this one race, maybe we could get more. Maybe we could get more people to do this. So people started talking in the Go Mode Podcast Discord about making a mentor tournament just for overall glitches. And that is what that's what made the glitch community like actually able to do regular races, is we got 16 people to join this mentor tournament. And 16 is a lot. That's a lot of blood to pump into a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's super awesome. Way to go, you and Go Mode Podcast. That's awesome. I think it's interesting that it just takes like someone to care enough to try to encourage others to play, right? Like you create, you do what you can to help the community in a way that that helps it grow. And I love seeing those sort of things.
Yeah, it's a little bit like what you did with League. You wanted to bring co-op to the community, so you created League. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring glitches to the community, so I created the Glitch Mentor Tournament and a whole bunch of other stuff that came after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's some of the other stuff that came after that?
I started putting together async races because a big problem was everyone was all over the world. And if you were like in the UK or something, you're going to have a hard time finding pickup races. So I wanted to make sure that everybody has a chance to join races and race each other and not just race like one, the same person every time.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's going pretty well, I take it.
Yeah, those are still ongoing. Every month I make 10 seeds. Of various modes. Sometimes I use them to experiment the way like Dunka uses for ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, I want to try this new mode. I'm going to make it a ladder mode this month. Mm-hmm. I'll do that with my glitch modes as well.
What's your role as the person kind of overseeing? Like, you're not in charge of overworld glitches per se, but you have this like passion for it. It feels like you're kind of overseeing it in a way and trying to make it grow. Are you doing races yourself or... I don't know, kind of, what do you feel your role is there?
I would say my role is community organizer.
Mm.
I'm not a leader because I'm not making rules except for the tournament rules. Mm-hmm. But even the tournament rules are often determined by vote. Mm-hmm. For example, for the No Logic tournament that we're currently running, we voted on a mode that puts an extra fire rod and ice rod in the pool. And that was purely democratic. Like we did went into Discord and say, react to this if you want this mode, react if you want that mode. Democratic also, we don't have a racing council. We just have, you know, a couple dozen people who say, I think this should be allowed in, you know, overall glitches, but not in no glitches. Because like no glitches, that's determined by the racing council. But anything that's not banned or allowed in no glitches, that has to go through either the speedrunning community or just democratic and everyone just kind of agrees.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever step into the speedrun stuff?
I did. And overall glitches mentor tournament is the reason for that, because some of the people we attracted were speedrunners who had done the overall glitches equivalent speedrun called Restricted Major Glitches All Dungeons.
Yeah.
Or Any Percent.
Yeah, that was a big tournament a few years back. I feel like that saw a lot of runners like either learning that mode or kind of experimenting with that mode.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I would say like right before I got into glitches, that tournament happened. I didn't even know it was happening. I never saw it. I had to binge it later, which is a shame because I run that category now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I got into the category because of all these people in the Overall Glitches Mentor Tournament who were already running it and were recommending it to me. And that also spawned the a new mode called Hybrid Major Glitches, which puts Underworld clips in Logic without putting like bunny clipping in Logic. It used to be that if you wanted Underworld clips, you had to do Major Glitches, which put all sorts of things in Logic, like fake fluting and walking around as a bunny in the Dark World. And that's boring, and it's not very competitive, because if somebody finds the Moon Pearl, they just have a huge advantage. So I found out that you could do glitch toggles with the customizer and create new modes. And that's how we got Hybrid Major Glitches, which is the mode that we ran the tournament off of that year.
Can you, because, okay, I don't know, like, when you say Hybrid Major Glitches or like Overworld Glitches or even like no Logic, I don't really know what that means, even though I've been playing this game for years now. So what is some of the differences between some of these things?
Okay, so we have a few different categories of glitches, a few different rule sets that come from the speedrun. One of the rule sets is no major glitches. The next level up is restricted major glitches, which is no major glitches plus out of bounds clips and a couple other things. And then the level up from that is no EG, which is pretty much any glitch except EG and a couple others. And that's the glitches that you'll see in like a no Logic race. We run no Logic off of the no EG rule set. We run overworld glitches off of the RNG rule set, except only in the overworld. So if it's a clip and done in the underworld, you're not allowed to do it.
So you can clip anywhere on the overworld that's allowed. But when you're in a dungeon or in like a cave or something, you're not allowed to clip.
Correct. Okay. And a lot of people who were used to the speedrun where that is allowed felt a little bit restricted playing overworld glitches, because it's not, it doesn't match to any of the speedruns. Like, there's no such thing as an overworld glitches speedrun. So people, there was a demand for a mode that was A, fun to play, and B, the same rules as all dungeons RNG. And that's how we got HNG.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So what was it about the glitches stuff that kind of, that captured you? Was it the fact that you were able to do stuff that you shouldn't be able to in the game? Like when you talked about being able, wanting to be able to walk on the clouds?
Yeah, it was a little bit of that. You know, there's a little bit of, what do you call it? Like, ooh, haha, I'm breaking the rules. Hee-hee. That gets, you know, I guess I'm not going to say it gets old, but you get used to that as the default mode of playing, and it stops feeling that way. You don't really feel like you're cheating anymore. You're just playing the game.
Sure, sure.
But the fact that the glitches themselves are really fun to do is appealing in and of itself. And the way that it opens the routing to allow for more creativity than no glitches would allow was probably the number one appeal to me.
Yeah. Do you have more of a competitive edge to you when you're playing this? Or is it still similar and you're just kind of trying to help the community catch that competitive spirit? Or what? How is it?
I am definitely more competitive now than I was before. I'm in the tournament. I made it to round four of No Logic so far. Like, I'm still in it, in the winner's bracket. So like, being able to make it that far into a tournament does get to your head a little bit. And it's hard not to want to keep going when you're that far in.
Yeah.
And even like HMG, I didn't do like nearly as well in HMG, but I still won races against people, and you know, like, in pickup races, I could hold my own, and being able to do that motivated me to keep learning and to stay good. And learning the speedrun, where the competition is against yourself, also made me want to keep improving, because competition against yourself feels very different from competition against other players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, when you make a mistake, it's, you know, you have no one to blame but yourself.
Right. Right. Yeah. Talked a little bit about that with Airy, because, you know, he comes from or has built himself up in the NMG world. And it's like, how do you make it so you're not compounding mistake after mistake and turning one mistake into five more and things like that? So what do you think has been the thing that has kind of kept overworld glitches from becoming mainstream? Do you think overworld glitches can become mainstream?
I think it can't. And I think the reason is that when you do learn overworld glitches, it takes something away from no glitches that makes no glitches less fun to play. And I would be a little bit sad if like everyone just played overworld glitches all the time, because then it would just become Super Metroid Randomizer. And there's a reason that that one's so, you know, people consider that to be so hard to get into. It's because it depends so much of you. You have to learn the movement tech. You have to learn the glitches just to get into the racing scene. And I don't think that Link to the Past should go in that direction.
Okay. Have you dabbled, because you talked about Super Metroid Randomizer, have you dabbled in other randomizers as well?
Not really.
I mean, Super Metroid is such a hard game. It really is. I think that's one of the reasons it's been hard for me to even like think about attempting SMZ3 is the level of difficulty in Super Metroid. Yeah, it just feels so different.
For anybody listening, I promise you, glitch modes in Link to the Past are easier to learn than Super Metroid.
Sure.
There's nothing that you learn that's actually mechanically difficult to do, short of hitting two buttons at the same time. And even that, you can make it easy just by hitting them with the same hand. It might take some adjustment to change your grip, but once you've done it, it's not hard.
Mm-hmm. So once the glitch category has kind of got its hook in you, did you stop playing normal modes? Have you continued to play normal random modes?
I have almost completely stopped. It makes me a little sad because I used to be a little bit like when I was playing on my own casually, I was playing a lot of cross keys. Mm-hmm. And now I can't really play cross keys anymore without wishing I was playing glitches. And glitch cross keys just kind of defeats the purpose of having connectors. So now right. If I want to scratch that itch, I play Dorando, because Dorando actually makes the glitches not work as well in the underworld. When you do no logic Dorando, it's actually really hard to do because the glitches that you would do indoors don't work half the time.
Sure. Dorando is something that I, on the podcast, I haven't even delved into with anyone, because it does feel, Dorando feels so daunting, but it's almost like, this game is almost like a drug in a sense, as you get a little taste, right? You get a little bit of like, oh, here's, let's mix up the items. And now let's mix up the keys. Now let's mix up the entrances. And now let's throw in glitches. And now let's throw in underworld shuffle. You know, it's like, it's you just can't get enough.
Codeman can tell you all about that. Every time I look over at his stream, he's developing some new thing to shuffle. Like the latest thing he has shuffled is the bonkable trees in the overworld. I'm like, are you ever going to run out? Are you ever going to run out of things to shuffle? What is it going to be next? Is it going to be like bushes in the overworld? It's like stun prize is now going to be like an item instead of a rupee. What is this?
It is crazy. I just did my first Poto Lotto and it was intense. And I'm not going to lie, there's something addicting about it. It does kind of scratch an itch that I didn't even know needed to be scratched.
Pottery Lottery is really fun. I thought it was a joke when it was created, and then I actually played it, and you can just turn your brain off. Like, do Pottery Lottery with Triforce on.
Right,
and turn your brain off, because you can skip things and not be super punished. It's just, like, a really good way to chill with friends.
Yeah, I think was that the Avian Art Tournament has, like, that true pot hunt mode or whatever like that, like... I've watched Bleeby do some of that, where like there's 420 different Triforce pieces and you have to get like 213 or something. I'm not much of a memer. Like, I don't really care for the meme stuff, but that actually seems like fun in a way that, you know, racing like a normal open or cross keys or whatever feels, I don't know, just feels different enough to like be silly and have a good time with.
It is unironically fun. Like, it is, I think, is a party. If you are looking for something to do that is not racing competitively, that is the thing you should try first.
Yeah.
Because it is so hard to take it seriously.
Right. I think that's the thing, is like, you get into tournaments and stuff. You even like with the no logic tournament that's going on, you get into it and it's hard not to take it seriously.
Yeah. I mean, you probably know about that from League, is, you know, you wanted it to be a fun game with friends, but then people started taking it seriously. And
yeah,
I'm really hoping that glitch modes don't go in that direction too much. Like, yeah, people are taking it seriously, but in the no logic tournament, people have been sacrificing time just to show off the new tech. And I really love that about the community and their willingness to do that.
Like, right. People, it's not just races about the win.
People are losing races just so they can show off the new tech. And I would rather they do that than win. Nobody's going to remember like the seed where you play normally, right? They're going to remember you're the first person to pull off Blockbuster in a race. I bet you don't even know what Blockbuster is, because it was discovered last month.
What is Blockbuster?
You can like mirror while pushing a block frame perfectly and store that block, and then have the block push you through a wall later. And you can use it to get from...
Is that what they were using to get to Helmasaur. Like, I was watching one of the No Logic races on Speed Gaming, which had been a lot of fun to watch, by the way. Like, I'm just watching, having no idea what's going on, but just asking questions and kind of seeing some, like, pretty crazy tech. But I saw someone get to Helmasaur from, like, the second room or something. Is that the same thing, or is that something
different? That's called statue drag. It's, I guess it, you know, conceptually is similar. You're storing a statue dragging state. But Blockbuster is, you're storing like a block itself, like a sprite that appears and you push up like a block and then having that push you through a wall. And you use it to get from checkerboard to hammer pigs. And it's you use it to get one check. Nobody's winning races because of it. But oh boy, chat goes wild when somebody starts mirroring out with a block in their hands.
That is funny. It is crazy. Where do you see the community right now as far as the Overworld Glitches community? Do you feel like it's in a good place? Do you see it growing?
Okay, so I forget which of your recent guests said this about 2018 Rando. Was talking about how much more exciting competitive racing was back when people didn't really know what they were doing. People didn't know how to route. There was no meta. Or if there was a meta, it was still evolving. And I think we are in that golden age right now with glitch modes. Because the meta is still evolving. New glitches are still being discovered. People are still not taking it too seriously. And we're still small enough to self-govern.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hard part, right? It's like you want people to come into the community. You want more people playing this mode. But then if too many people get in, does it become something that this becomes unwieldy and you need a council and you need a rule? You know what I mean? Like, it becomes, I don't know, it loses it, that sort of like outsider edge that it currently has.
I'm not going to say that I'm looking forward to that day, but I am prepared for it. And I think we have built a tight knit enough community that people will come together to make sure that it maintains its spirit.
Are you glitch hunting yourself, or I mean, who's finding all these new glitches?
Definitely not me. Other people are doing all of that work. Some people like Mr. Buyer, for example, looking at quadrant glitches. There's just a whole bunch of people looking at glitches right now. But the only thing I'm really doing is taking the glitches other people are finding and creating tutorials so that people can actually learn them without just watching other people do it.
Sure. And all of these tutorials are available in the main Discord, the main Rando Discord?
Yeah, they're all pinned somewhere. The glitch tournament server is the best place to find them. Currently, just because that's where I'm posting them and I have a little more control over that server, so I can pin things and stuff.
Sure.
Otherwise, you have to go in and do a search in the glitch training channel to find what you're looking for.
Did you ever think about entering some of the main tournaments or some of the even the more side tournaments or leagues or anything? Did you play League?
Nope. I have never joined a tournament that wasn't glitched. I actually made my own league for glitch modes. Me and Krithel put together I haven't really talked about Krithel yet, but he's like my rando best friend, right? So we play a lot of co-op together. We actually met at ESA this year in person.
Oh, cool.
We didn't meet for the first time, but like that was the first time we saw each other in person. So like, you know, everyone has a rando best friend, right?
Totally.
But he and I put together a league, but it was kind of like it's nothing like yours. It's not like a big thing. It was just a little find a partner to play co-op modes with, but all the co-op modes are glitch modes. So it's a little bit more, you know, appealing to us.
Sure. But isn't that what the fun, I mean, you're talking to me, co-op is the way to play rando. So isn't that just so much more fun to do something like glitch modes with your friend?
Oh, it is. And even the weeks where we do solo modes in the glitch league, we allowed you to be in a voice call with your teammate. And I think that main league should consider that. Because that's, I think, what's missing from League right now is the ability to play the game and not feel isolated.
Yeah.
Like, leave that for the main tournament.
Yeah. I just wonder, because, you know, I'm no longer part of the League, but I it was so hard to convince everyone to do Overworld Glitches because you're making the community learn a whole bunch of new stuff, right?
I don't think Overworld Glitches should be in League, in my opinion. I think it's okay being siloed. I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think we should be forcing it on anyone. I think people should want to try it. And if they don't want to try it and they think it's not for them, I don't think they should be like forced into it or pressured into it.
That's smart. That's a good way to go about it, because then it feels like you're making people do something that they don't want to do, and then it's, then it's no longer fun, right?
It's homework. It's the you go to college and you're a science major and they're making you take a lit class, and it makes you hate reading because you don't want to be there. You want to learn about biology. I'm not bitter at all.
I could tell. Do you like your role where you're at in the community as far as the Overworld Glitches and being so known for like a spokesperson for Overworld Glitches? Because I know most of this conversation has kind of been about that and not so much your story. It feels like you're the advocate for all of this. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I think as long as people are like good to each other in the community, as long as they don't turn nasty and start, you know, infighting, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, for sure. Who are some of the people that you've looked up to in the community when you first started and maybe even now?
I would say like ChexHuman. When I was getting into glitch modes, I found him because I was asking about inverted glitches and somebody linked me to his inverted NMG run. And I was like, oh, I love the way he just laughs off mistakes and has a generally chill attitude. But also when he really wants to learn something, he dedicates himself to it. So I started following him, and he's an incredible runner. Like, if you've never watched ChexHuman play or even like practice, you're missing out on something, because he is just has this like aura of like chillness, but not in a like relaxed way, but in a like zen way. Like, I don't know, like he gets really into it and doesn't get to his head. It's really easy for stuff to just get to your head when you're trying to learn something. You get frustrated and stuff. But he's very patient, and he will push through it until he figures it out.
And he's really good at the game, too. So it's not just chill and whatever. He's legit really good at the game, too.
Yeah, and that's all coming from the patience. Like, his willingness to sit down for an hour and puzzle out why what he's doing isn't working and how to make it work and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does this speedrun called Delete Ganon, which is, it's a 10-minute speedrun where you basically perform ace. You do, I don't know if it's really ace, but it's like definitely some kind of arbitrary memory manipulation using some items. And there's a part at the very end where you have to do a 4 frames apart input. And
oh my gosh.
You know what? He did it. And I think he has like less than 10 complete runs out of 100. Like, That alone, just seeing that split, like, you know, 8 out of 100 complete runs should show you what kind of runner he is. His willingness to go through 100 runs until he gets it right 8 times.
Yeah, that's crazy. So is there anyone else that's kind of that you look up to?
It's so hard to pick. I mean, I've already mentioned Krithel and a few other people like Mr. Buyer and stuff. Like, Mr. Buyer is one of the people who learned glitch modes by himself. Like, I don't think he was really using any of the resources beyond the videos that were available at the time. He wasn't streaming. People weren't really helping him. He just kind of did it. So having him enter the glitch racing community from seemingly nowhere was kind of cool as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. We did get a question for you from Pelmancott in the guest questions. And I think we kind of just answered it, but do you think we'll see a glitch mode in the league, and why or why not? I think you kind of answered that, right? Like, you'd prefer that they don't do it?
I mean, I think if they want to and I think they're ready for it, then be my guest. It's not my league, right?
Right.
But I don't think it should be forced on people. I think people should enter the glitch community because they want to, and not because they feel obligated to be one of three people who can do glitch modes when it comes up.
Right. Where do you see the glitch mode going from here? Like, where's the community going?
The meta is still evolving, and every time we run a tournament, the meta evolves during the tournament. I expect to see the level of competition to be very high, but also for more new players to be able to run, so people can always find somebody at their skill level to race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for the health of any community, is ensuring that new blood can always find a place.
Yeah, and I think you've done a really good job of kind of fostering that. I do think it's like a pretty welcoming community. Like, for me, when I watch that stuff, I feel intimidated by it. It feels like there's just so much knowledge that is passed along, and But when I watch it and ask questions, it feels like the community is so willing to not make me feel stupid for not knowing, right? I think that's another thing, is the community feels so welcoming in a way that I haven't fully embraced overworld glitches yet, but I really do enjoy watching them, and I've never been made to feel stupid because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's part of what I love so much about the community, is they're always welcoming people with open arms. If you go into Discord and say, I'm going to try my first overworld glitches race, here's my stream link, you'll get people in your chat. Guaranteed. Like, go into glitch training, yeah, post your channel and say, I'm going to do a game. Just try it. Like, if and when you're ready to play, I highly recommend doing that. I think everybody should have that experience, because it's just so encouraging, and it helps you get to know really the people too.
Yeah. Because there is games and there is communities where there is a ton of knowledge that's needed to play these games. And there's a lot of knowledge that's needed to play overworld glitches over the regular rando. And you encounter these communities where whenever you ask questions, they make you feel so dumb. You know what I mean? I was so worried about that with this community, and watching the no logic glitches races on speed gaming have been really fun. And I've been watching Spleeby do some stuff as well.
Yeah. Keep in mind, if your introduction to glitch modes is watching no logic, of course it's going to look daunting, because you're watching the deepest end of the pool.
Sure.
And if you're watching it now, you're watching the phase of the tournament where, you know, the people who are in it are still in it for a reason. So, you know, but there's also people in this tournament who, here's another, you asked about who do I admire. JD Silvergun is a runner in the No Logic tournament who learned No Logic 2 days before the tournament started.
Wow.
And that's the kind of runner they are. They will just do that. And they'll just say, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to do it no matter how impossible it seems. And they did. And their time improved from like getting 230 seeds to getting like 130 seeds within the four races that they did.
Yeah. I mean, even with No Logic being the deep end, again, the community, if you go and just watch and ask questions, because the community is so tight knit, everyone in chat is so filled with knowledge and willing to share it. And when you ask a question like what the heck just happened there, no one like laughs at you or tries to make you feel like you're stupid for not knowing.
Yeah. Or make some joke answer like, oh, he just walked through a wall. Oh, those jokes get old after a while. Like, oh, sure. Walls are a suggestion. That's like the hard glitch mode version of, are they going to pull ped? You get tired of seeing that after a while.
For sure. For sure.
And yes, we do have our memes. We have our shit posts, you know, saying like, oh, are we going to tree warp that sword, is kind of the current version of, are we going to pull ped? I'm sure that will pass before the next round of No Logic, after a few people have, in fact, duplicated a sword using a glitch called tree warp. We've seen tree warp. What's the next thing?
Right. Yeah. You can't mitigate memes. Those are just sort of natural and just kind of happen. So where do you see your role going forward? Not just in rando, or not just in overworld glitches, but like in rando, are you enjoying where you're at? Do you see yourself here for the long term?
I really want to find a way to rediscover my love of no glitches. I want to learn, like, how do I get back into the shallow end of the pool and still enjoy it? Because that, what I'm calling the shallow end, actually has like five branches off of it that are deep in their own ways. Like, yes, you can go into a different deep end. And of course, Dorando was one of them, but, you know, playing, you know, competitively in a no glitches mode is another thing I've never done before. Like, I've never been competitive in no glitches. I've only played casually. So I wouldn't know, like, if I jumped into a speed gaming race, I would get creamed. I wouldn't know what I'm doing.
Do you have a desire, though, to kind of get back or get into, for the first time, competitive rando that's not included glitches?
Probably not competitive rando, but the other modes that don't have glitch logic, I can consider myself getting into. You know, like, I did used to love cross keys. It was my first love.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dorando is fun and Enemizer is fun. And there are a whole bunch of people I don't get to race because they don't play glitch modes. So I'm missing out on a huge portion of the community that way as well.
Yeah. Do you have maybe any desire to join the league?
Probably not, just because of the time commitment.
Yeah.
But my time, this glitch community running takes so much of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm supposed to be helping run the Go Mode podcast mentor tournament, but because it happens during the glitch mentor or the glitch tournament, I just can't put in very much effort at all. Like, I don't have the time to keep up with what's going on in that tournament. I don't understand how people can run multiple tournaments at the same time.
Running one tournament is enough. That's like, it's pretty hard. All right. So we're getting to the end of the show, and I'm going to ask you the tilt question. You know, that's coming, but your responses in the Discord kind of helped me understand your mentality already. And I feel like, I just feel like you're just like this wealth of knowledge, honestly, not just about glitches, but just the approach to the game and the approach to doing things for the right reasons, if that makes any sense. Like, everyone wants to win, and we let that sort of winning mentality overtake logical needs of whatever, right? Like, it feels like that becomes the end all, and we get salty out of it. So how do you approach tilt? Do you get tilted? And what would your advice be for me?
Okay, so like, if you're watching my stream, you might think that I never get tilted. And it's probably true that I don't get tilted when I'm playing the game. But the only reason is because I don't play the game if I am not in the right mindset.
Mm.
I don't play if I'm tired. I rarely play on weeknights at all because work is so exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't join tournaments that I'm not fully invested in, that I don't think I'm going to have fun in.
Mm-hmm.
And if something is going wrong in the middle of a game, I will just do something else. And I don't mean like quit the game and rage quit. I mean, if a glitch goes wrong in a no logic game, I will do a different dungeon until I have reset myself. And I think even if the last thing you have to do is this glitch, I still think it's valuable to go and do something else. Go look for an item that will make the game easier for you. Go farm some money, buy a potion, do whatever it takes just to reset yourself. And another thing is, like you've touched on, is making sure that you're in it for the right reasons. If you are the kind of person who does get affected by wins and losses, having something else that you're contributing to is really helpful, because your self-worth doesn't have to be completely tied up in your performance in the game. And it shouldn't be. Right. You should never put any of your self-worth in that, because ultimately it's not affecting anyone else. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, except that you get to play more games or don't get to play more games. That's the consequence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Find some way to make, you know, find something else to put your self-worth in. And I think helping other people is a really good start. In real life, if you're having that problem, you can try volunteering your time. If you have a little money, you can donate it. That gives you a little bit of a high, thinking, okay, I did something good today.
Right.
But in the rando ecosystem, organizing tournaments, doing commentary, helping people, just hanging out in their chat and just chatting with them, like even just lurking, like just find a place for yourself in the ecosystem. You don't need to be a tree to be part of the forest.
Wow, that's deep. That's really deep. It's so true, though. Like, there's so much truth to that. And I feel like, I mean, I had multiple people request for you to be on the show because of how much you put into the community, right? Like, you give so much of your time and your energy, and that's known. That's, people know that and feel that and appreciate that, and allows them to really enjoy the game and enjoy it beyond the wins and losses. I think the wins and losses just take too much brain space for so many of us, myself included. Like, for sure, it's something that I've struggled with for the last 4 years and trying to do. But when you see people like you who are so selfless and so willing to help everyone else enjoy the game, it inspires me.
Yeah, you know, like, you have already done that. So if you are feeling down on yourself because you lost a race, think of all the people who are winning races because of League. Because they got to learn something from their teammate.
Right.
Like when I don't think about, I don't care if I lose. If my opponent wins and my opponent is somebody who learned because of my tutorials, that makes me happy. Like, they won because they won because of what I put into this community. And or even if they won on their own, like, I'm still happy for them. Like, they learn by themselves. I think that's really cool. And I love to see that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Gosh, is there anything else? I feel like we didn't fully cover you, but we covered so much about you and the overall glitches community. Is there anything else that you want to cover before we head out?
I think we covered, you know, I don't like to like go into my life, you know, like my life's not that interesting. Let's be completely honest.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. I mean, I don't know your full life, but I do know that you're also an incredible artist, and the art that you put out there is a lot of it related to Link to the Past, with some of the sculptures that you've done even are so amazing.
Yeah, I guess I can go into the art a little bit. My art just follows what I love at the time. So like when I was in college learning biology, I was designing an alien world and populating it with an ecosystem based on everything I was learning. So I was like, okay, I learned about, you know, insect physiology. Like, I'm going to make a creature that uses some parts of that, but is something, you know, new and different. Now I'm playing Link to the Past and I'm doing glitches. So when I do a glitch that creates, you know, lots of graphical corruption, I think this kind of looks cool. Like, people don't really think about it, but this looks cool. I'm going to paint it. So yes, I have painted graphical corruption. Like, I have like three paintings of Link to the Past graphical corruption, because that's what I'm, you know, looking at right now. Who knows what I'm going to be doing tomorrow?
It's so good. I mean, being an artist, I love and am inspired by other artists, and seeing your work has really inspired me. It's really awesome.
Yeah. I think, you know, just like you should be playing for yourself, you know, you should be doing what you're doing for the right reason. Like,
right.
When I make this art, I'm not thinking anybody is going to buy a foot by foot panel of, you know,
right,
glitched SNES graphics.
Right.
If they do, more power to them. But I'm making this because I want to see what this looks like blown up and, you know, in acrylic paint, because I think that would look cool on my wall.
Sure. Is there a place people could see your art?
Yeah, I have a Tumblr blog. I could put it in the Discord later if you want.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. We'll link it on the show notes too. All right, Malmo, thank you so much for doing the show and sharing your story and just bringing your positive, good energy to the show. I love when people like you, who aren't so much about the wins and losses, are able to like put that into perspective for people like me. Because I need that. I need people around me that are like, let's have a good time, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for talking to me. It was really fun talking about the glitchmos, and I highly recommend you look into some of these other glitch runners and hear their perspective, especially the ones who are actually around for the history, because I think I didn't do it justice.
I just wanted to thank Malmo again for coming on the show. I know Fear had a great time and would love to have her on the show again. We've included links to her art blog in the show notes, so check those out. The 216 Weekly is this Saturday at noon Eastern. Last week's restream winner was Relkin. SG Live 21 Casual Boot Seed this past week was Bananas. You can catch the VOD on that on Fear's YouTube. Relkin chose League Kroskies for the mode this week, so we will be racing that. This is Kroskies with Pseudo Boots. Next Monday, we'll be back with Herfy Durfy. Fear is looking forward to that one, as he hasn't really had a chance to talk with Herf, despite being on his podcast several times. So look forward to that. That is next Monday. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. 216pod.com is the place to be. Get the link and join the Discord. Lots of football talk going on over there. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. Thanks again for listening. Fear has a blast doing these. See you next week.